So I want to read and continue this series today, starting at verse number 1 of Acts chapter 20, 28. Listen to the word of God. After we had reached safety, we then learned that the island was called Malta. The natives showed us unusual kindness. Since it had begun to rain and was cold, they kindled a fire and welcomed all of us around it. Paul had gathered a bundle of brushwood and was putting it on the fire when a viper, driven out by the heat, fastened itself to his hand. When the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, "This man must be a murderer, though he has escaped from the sea. Justice has not allowed him to live." He, however, shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. They were expecting him to swell up or drop dead, but after they had waited a long time and saw that nothing unusual had happened to him, they changed their minds and began to say that he was a god. Now in the neighborhood of that place were lands belonging to the leading men of the island named Publius, who received us and entertained us hospitably for 3 days. It so happened that the father of Publius lay sick in bed with fever and dysentery. Paul visited him and cured him by praying and putting his hands on him. And after this happened, the rest of the people on the island who had diseases also came and were cured. They bestowed many honors on us. And when we were about to sail, they put on board all the provisions needed. That's a wonderful text, interesting text, complete with snakes. What can the people of God get trending? I guess that's the question we're considering. Using the wonder of social media, the social media takeover, we are considering what life-giving ideas and practices we can get trending in our world. We're inundated with different news events, practices, and ideas that grow in popularity, and they are promoted on social media platforms like Facebook and Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok. As was the case last week, the most popular story or event that is trending on social media, and Gabriel, just want to commend you. Where is Gabriel? That was an incredible prayer meditation. Thank you, brother. He shared that the coronavirus, that's the story that seems to be gripping all of our attention from TV stations, cable news outlets, all the social media platforms. This story has many concerned and turned and we're tuned in, you know, daily, minute by minute, our phones are probably chirping as we speak with, you know, a story, a new case in this state, a new case in this city. This person is being tested to see if it's in Ohio. That's what keeps going on. It's trending. It's popular. While that trending story is frightening to many, some of these trending ideas have had very positive ideas. So trending isn't something that just elicits fear and anxiety. Sometimes just the idea of something trending, it has some positive results. For example, back in, I believe it was about 2014, there was the ice bucket challenge. How many people remember the ice bucket challenge? The ice bucket challenge was when folks would take a bucket of ice cold water and pour it on themselves. Now, accompanying the ice water dump, people would donate money to the ALS Foundation to raise money for research in hopes of identifying a cure. Folks would video their ice bucket dump and usually in the comments, they would put hashtag ALS Ice Bucket Challenge. Someone challenged me, a friend of mine, Justin Yates, he did the Ice Bucket Challenge, and he made a donation, then he challenged me, and so then I did the Ice Bucket Challenge, and I went to the website, and I donated $25 to the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge. And the challenge brought much-needed awareness to this condition, but also in the summer of 2014, the Ice Bucket Challenge raised $114 million. Trending. Sometimes trending can be good. So what can we as the people of God get trending? Last week I introduced the idea that is rooted in the New Testament. That idea is Jesus. That Jesus should get Jesus trending in our world by first falling in love with Jesus all over again and making Jesus our top priority, our main message. Before we talk to anyone about any church idea, theological idea, systematic theology, practical theology, exegesis, hermeneutics, all those big words that many of us can hardly say, I trip over all the time. Before we get into any of all of that stuff, we need to simply get trending the name of Jesus. And we get trending the name of Jesus by first falling in love with him and then following his words that he gave to his disciples. He's having a meal with his disciples. He's about to leave this earth and he says so many things to him, but the most important thing that he says on that night is recorded and preserved to us in John chapter 13, verse number 34. Jesus says, I give you a new commandment that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. And this morning, I want us to flow right out of the effort to get Jesus trending in our world by doing exactly what Jesus called us to do. Love as he has loved. And one way for us to love as he has loved is to be nice. Hashtag be nice. For a few moments, I want us to consider the narrative that I read from the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, the second half of the book focuses on a man named Paul. Paul, he was an apostle of Jesus Christ. He was formerly someone who troubled the church. He didn't like the church. He didn't like Jesus' followers. He had followers of Jesus arrested. They were handed over. They were arrested, thrown in prison, and some of them handed over for a certain execution. They were killed simply because they were followers of Jesus. But God intervened in Paul's life. Paul became a follower of Jesus and would serve as the church's most successful church planter, preacher, and leader. He wrote practically the entire New Testament, well over half of the New Testament that we have in our Bibles. The book of Acts goes into great description and descriptive detail about the life of Paul and his travels and his adventures. In the passage I read to begin this sermon, we find Paul and his companions on a ship sailing for Rome. Paul was a prisoner. He had been arrested for his work of spreading the gospel of Jesus. And the end of the book of Acts reads like a classic maritime story, complete with a ship, a storm, a shipwreck, and an island. You know those movies where there's a shipwreck and the folks end up, you know, or TV show, Gilligan's Island. And that was one of my favorite TV shows growing up. The story of these castaways on this island and all that goes on because of the broke down ship. And the end of Acts, it just kind of reads like that. If you're into that, you know, sort of nautical stories, Sinbad and the Seven Seas, you know, those type. If you're into those stories, you're really going to get into Acts chapter 27 and verse number 28. Think of all of those stories and the stories of the sailors and encountering the perils of the sea and finding themselves stranded on some remote island. If you read chapters 27 and 28, you'll see many similarities in those stories that you see in, again, a lot of the movies and the stories that we know about the sea and shipwrecks. I want us to zero in on the shipwreck part of the story, but here are some of the details of the story from chapters 27 and following. Paul and the author of Acts, we presume a guy by the name of Luke, they were both on this ship of prisoners headed to Rome. So when you're reading 27 and 28, you hear the author say we and us. And so the author is an eyewitness to everything that's going on. This author is on the ship. He's next to Paul. He's witnessing all that's going on. And most of those on board are headed to Rome, and they're prisoners, and they are headed probably for execution for their crimes. Now, while on board, Paul continued to represent Jesus and showing care for those on board, which I just find extremely just remarkable aspect of this story is that Paul is a prisoner, yet while he is a prisoner on this ship that is in peril, there's a windstorm and shaking the ship to and fro, and is crazy on board, and there is Paul on this ship as a prisoner providing emotional, mental, and spiritual care for all of those on board. There is this great windstorm. The windstorm was a feared weather event that had frightened many sailors. The area where the ship encountered trouble was an area that was feared and was labeled as a graveyard for many, many ships. It's similar to sort of the mystique of the Bermuda Triangle, right? The Bermuda Triangle is this area where some ships and planes have disappeared, never to be found. This was that type of area, and it was known as a graveyard of ships because of the many shipwrecks. It was a dire situation where the sailors were ready to abandon ship. They were ready to get out of there. They were ready to jump and swim somewhere and get off of this ship. But Paul urged them to stay aboard. In addition, the crew were in charge of all of the prisoners on board. And if they escaped, they feared they could return and possibly resume their criminal activities. They had been without food for many days. Paul, while on the ship, provided emotional care and urged them to take care of their physical. Acts chapter 27, starting at verse number 33, it says, "Just before daybreak, Paul urged all of them to take some food, saying, 'Today is the 14th day that you have been in suspense and remaining without food, having eaten nothing. Therefore, I urge you to take some food, for it will help you survive, for none of you will lose a hair from your head.' After he had said this, he took bread, and giving thanks to God in the presence of all, he broke it and began to eat." That sounds familiar, doesn't it? "Then all of them were encouraged and took food for themselves." We, again, the author included in this story, we were all, in all, 276 persons on the ship. And after they had satisfied their hunger, they lightened the ship by throwing the wheat into the sea. Note the kindness of Paul in this story, in this scary and uncertain time. Church, this is one of, I believe, one of the greatest features of God's church. That we are known, or at least we should be known. But I think that this, and I want to maybe just brag on Reynoldsburg for a little bit. One of the things that this church is known for is the way that it provides care for folks in times of need and in times of just uncertain times. I can tell you that over the years, I've been called by those who come to, say, our community of care dinner, and they don't have a church home, and they lose a loved one, you know, a death. And because they don't have a church home, they don't know what to do for a funeral. And so they'll call me and say, you know, hey Pastor Dion, could you like, preach the funeral? We don't know what to do. It's all right. I'll come. I'll sit with you. We'll talk through it. We'll get you through this. I know Perry has been asked to perform, you know, funerals for folks. People that I just meet on the street in various situations, I've been called to just help them during that time of uncertainty. As a church body, that's just something that we do. When people are hurting, when people are in instances of uncertainty or it's scary and they're disoriented, we step in and we help and we care and we show kindness. And I just thank God that, you know, I'm looking at so many of you right now that I know that in times of distress in so many people's lives, you have stepped up and you have gone over and beyond to show the love of God. You do so in ways that doesn't often offer a lot of, you know, answers. I'm sure as Paul is on this ship and he's showing kindness, he's being nice to these sailors and these soldiers and these prisoners. I'm not sure that he was on there like talking like he was an experienced naval captain. I don't know that Paul knew exactly what was going to happen, how it was all going to end up, but in the midst of that scariness, he provided care. Church, that is a huge calling that we possess in the 21st century. You know, right now, as so many people are gripped by the fear of a spreading virus, and listen, the spreading virus is not something that we need to go all crazy over, but it's also something that we don't need to just dismiss. There are people who are really concerned right now. And I'm calling on the church to be a voice of care, a voice that is walking alongside people and their anxieties. That's just what we have been called to do. And I just love the way that Paul demonstrates that during this ship ordeal. The ship runs ashore. If you continue to read the story, the crew were prepared to kill all of the prisoners. Again, they were, you know, afraid that they could get away and escape. They were in their care, so they were ready to, you know, start killing prisoners. Picking up in verse number 42 of chapter 27, it says the soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners so that none might swim away and escape. But the centurion, wishing to save Paul, kept them from carrying out their plan. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and to make for the land, and the rest to follow, some on planks and others on pieces of the ship. And so it was that all were brought safely to land. I mean, I don't know about you, but this story is just such a fascinating story. I don't know how to swim, church. So I don't know if I'm one of the ones that are like, yo, I need that piece of the ship to hold on to. I need the one that don't sink because I'm a sink. You know, I don't know how to float. I get in the water, I jump right to the bottom. So I'm the one that needs the piece, the most buoyant piece of the ship so I can float to safety. I would say that it was Paul's care and kindness. If you really think about it, when you read this story, it was Paul's care and his kindness that led to the survival of everyone on that ship. I thought it important to review the background of the text in question this morning. You know, here, those aboard this ship that were doomed find themselves on an island called Malta. Surely this was a scary situation. If there were residents on this island, how would they treat the castaways? I mean, you've seen the movies. When those who are shipwrecked on an island, the story usually turns to the shipwrecked folks, you know, fighting for their lives against the barbaric natives of the island. And you know, that's the movie. Like, how are we going to survive? You know, they're making weapons out of palm trees and whatever they do. But listen to what the author says about the natives of this land. I want you to pay close attention to what the author says about the natives. Verse number 2 of chapter 28, the author says, the natives showed us unusual kindness. Since it had begun to rain and was cold, they kindled a fire and welcomed all of us around it. Further down, the author continues to describe the incredible kindness of the natives. Now in the neighborhood of that place where lands belonged to the leading man of the island named Publius, who received us and entertained us hospitably for 3 days. I don't know about you, but I'm really taken by how nice the natives were to these castaways. I'm amazed at the capacity of folks who were not Christians. These were not Jesus followers. But I'm amazed by their capacity to show kindness and hospitality to strangers. What's going on here? Now, not to be left out, there were opportunities for Paul and his companions to return acts of kindness. Verse number 8 of chapter 28, it so happened that the father of Publius lay sick in bed with fever and dysentery. Paul visited him and cured him by praying and putting his hands on him. After this happened, the rest of the people on the land who had diseases also came and they were cured. And I love the end of the story. A very simple concluding comment. Verse number 10, they bestowed many honors on us, and when we were about to sail, They put on board all the provision. Remember earlier in the story, they threw out all their wheat, all their food. And here these natives say, here's some things that you may need. And so they made provisions that they needed. So what do we do with this story? Huh? What do we do with this story? We're getting Jesus trending. We're falling in love with Jesus. He says, love as I have loved. He says, love as I have loved you. They would know you are my followers by your love. There's a popular author that I may have mentioned a couple times. His name is Bob Goff. Several years ago, he wrote a book called Love Does. I love the line that he writes in the beginning of his book. He's telling a story about going to Disneyland and sitting by this place where he just imagines. He sits there all the time and he just thinks of new ideas and he just really goes to town with his imagination. And he wrote, as I sit on my island, it becomes clear that we need to stop plotting the course and instead just land the plane on our plans to make a difference by getting to the do, D-O, to the do part of faith. That's because love is never stationary. In the end, love doesn't just keep thinking about it or keep planning for it. Simply put, love does. Love does. I like that, and I believe this is where the rubber meets the road. I'm trying to get us to get some ideas, some actions, some events trending. And we need to be thinking about things to do. I have shared a text with you this morning about Paul and his companions doing something. A doomed ship, Paul performed acts of kindness. Dare I say, Paul was being nice. He was being kind. I don't care what situation we find ourselves in as people, as a community, as a nation, or as a church. There is always room for more kindness and more instances of being nice. Paul was being nice, being kind. Kindness is the fruit bore by those who walk in the Spirit or walk by the Spirit of God. The followers of God possess the indwelling of God's Spirit. And Galatians 5:22 says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things, which is to say there is no limit to love. There is no limit to joy and peace. There is no limit to kindness and generosity. Church, let's get being nice trending. Let's take a cue from our Lord and one of the greatest apostles, excuse me, to perform acts of kindness. Church, let's not limit our kindness to those who are just close to us or only those we know or only those we like or only those who believe like us. To only those who think, we think they deserve kindness. Church, frankly, I'm tired of the church being caricatured as mean-spirited, cranky, dissatisfied, constantly complaining, and unkind. Don't you hate the fact that we're just caricatured that way? You know, you read people who are opponents of Christianity, and that's what they write about us. These caricatures of us being mean-spirited and cranky. Now, do you know why they create these caricatures of us being that way? Because we're mean-spirited, we're cranky, we're continually dissatisfied, we're constantly complaining, and we're unkind. We say things about people that do not reflect our connection to God. We are cranky about things that aren't important. And I get that there are some things that agitate us, that bother us and anger us. But are we turning these objections into opportunities to be nice? You're in the grocery store during Christmas time, and all the lanes are closed except for one. And so you're in line, and you're like, you know, at Walmart, you're in line to get your groceries, and it's only one line open, and the line is winding all the way through the clothes section. How many people have ever been there where you're in line, and you're in line, and you're in the clothes, and the person up there, the cashier, they're doing their very best to check everybody out as fast as they can, and then you have the people in line, they get up to the line, they get up to the cashier, and they start giving that cashier the business. What are y'all doing in this store? Why don't you have more people opening lines? Why are you, don't you see, I got things to do. I got presents to wrap. I got things to do. Now, as far as I know, the person who's the cashier probably is not in charge of hiring. They're probably not in charge of scheduling. They're just doing their job the best that they can. So what's your response as a Christian when you come up to the cashier? I find myself when I'm in those situations coming up to the cashier, and I'll say things like, man, you're doing an incredible job. I don't know how you do this, because I don't have the patience to do this, but thank you for what you're doing. I know there's a brother here that goes to the grocery store and we'll see people who are, you know, taking care of the carts, because let me tell you, man, I got pet peeves. One of my pet peeves is when I see someone who take a cart and they're parked right next to the cart corral and they don't put the cart in the cart corral. Oh my goodness. But I know there's a brother here that saw a worker just working hard, getting all the carts together and putting the carts in the cart corral. And he went up to that cart corral person and said, you know what, man, I just really enjoy watching you do a good job. And he slapped a cart corraler a $20 bill. And my daughter, she used to be a cart corraler. And she was like, well, how come that brother didn't ever come see me? But do you see that? There's something that we can do as Christians, right? Like just being nice. My brother-in-law, David, he works for Art Van Furniture. Art Van Furniture just opened a big, brand new, big store up near Polaris. My brother-in-law lives in Michigan, where Art Van is a very popular furniture store. 2 days ago, they just announced that they filed Chapter 7 bankruptcy. 3,100 workers in Michigan. I don't know how many there are in Ohio, but including, you know, the store here in Polaris, that store is about to close. And my brother-in-law is in a position of not knowing what to do. You know, they have pensions that are in danger of being wiped out because of this action. And they're losing their job in 60 days. So people are promptly going into Art Van and they are giving the business to the salespeople. What are you doing? What am I going to do with my warranty? And they're just, they had nothing to do with Chapter 7 bankruptcy. Maybe a better way or a better response for Christians, knowing that all these workers are going to lose their job. Hey, if you're in the market of buying some furniture, go buy some furniture. Go help these salespeople out that work on commission. They don't sell. They don't get paid. I don't know that the Christian response ought to be going and cursing out the salespeople. Perhaps being nice needs to be our default setting. It's not a sign of weakness or wimpery to always look for opportunities to be nice. And also, it's okay to be open to the idea that we do not hold the patent on being nice. We're not the only ones capable of being nice. A few months ago, I was in the drive-thru at a restaurant, and I ordered my food, and I'm going around and, you know, pay and get my food, and the car in front of me had a slew of bumper stickers that said some of the most vile. You know, if I had kids in the car, I would have said, cover your eyes, don't look at that. And I was just in my car like, oh, can I believe people would put that on the back of their... I get up to the window to get my food, and the cashier says, hey, the car in front of you just paid for your lunch. I started reliving what just happened. I'm like, did they see me in the back? We don't hold a monopoly on being kind. I think what's evidence in the story that I read from Acts 28 is that these natives had a great capacity. You know, perhaps the world that we often think is so hellbound actually embodies more kindness than we give it credit for. I remember Devin Skillian, he's a reporter for a news station in Detroit. During the Oklahoma City bombing, he went down to cover the bombing, and he went down there, and I remember him coming and talking. I was a student at Rochester College, and he was talking during our chapel time, and he was talking about that very idea that maybe there is more niceness in the world that we're just unwilling to acknowledge. Because for some reason, we just find it easier to find the flaw and the bad in most people and not the good. And he said it was going to Oklahoma City during that bombing that helped him to see that. When he got down there and he saw that there were people saying, this is what I need you, reporter, to report. Tell people to stop sending money. We have way too much. People had responded in such a fantastic way. I heard someone talking about the tornado down in Tennessee, that they were just overloaded with goods and services because people have a capacity to be nice. We need more nice in our world. And I think that Christians, Jesus followers, ought to be the leaders of it. Furthermore, we need to graciously accept the kindness of others. So for the invitation this morning, I have a couple offers for us to perform acts of kindness or to be nice. Let's get be nice trending. One of the ways I offered earlier during the announcements, Church of Christ Relief, Disaster Relief. Again, if you're interested in donating some goods, and services, you can go to their website and see what they need. I am sure that in the coming weeks and months, there are going to be relief efforts and teams going down to help just clean up, and you may want to offer your services and time toward that. A family that the parents of Kim Johnson knows, they lost their oldest daughter in the storm. Their youngest was also hurt. The father was injured. Again, it hits close to home when you know people who are impacted by this. We need to be in prayer, right, for all the families impacted by this. There's another family. I think there's a pic on the screen here. Joshua, Aaron, and Sawyer. They all lost their lives in the storm. Aaron is the daughter of a preacher of a Church of Christ in Tennessee, and both families of the husband and wife are grieving this terribly. And there's an invitation, a couple ways for us to be nice to the family, as I mentioned, donations. But their family requested something. It's trending on Facebook right now. Little Sawyer, there's a video of him. They showed in some of the news reports of him standing behind a pulpit and opening up a songbook and leading singing. And he was leading Holy, Holy, Holy. Apparently, two-year-old Sawyer, that's his favorite song. And so what the family asked is that they would be tremendously blessed if churches all over the country would record themselves singing Holy, Holy, Holy and post it on their Facebook family page with the hashtag Sawyer's Song. So I thought we could do that. So let's stand. We're going to sing Holy, holy, holy. I just need someone, get your phone out and just record this, and then we'll coordinate getting the video. Keenan, can you do it? Go ahead. I want you to record us singing this song, Holy, Holy. Just get a shot of the whole church singing this song. Let's worship together with this family who are experiencing some deep grief now. Hashtag Sawyer's song. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God Almighty,
early in the morning, my soul shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed eternity.
Trinity. Amen. Go ahead and have a seat. And God be praised for the body of Christ and the way that we can serve and be kind and be nice to those who are suffering at this time. Now, there's another way for us to be kind. I'm having some printer issues, and I had prepared some cards available, and I can't get them to print out. I will have them available next week. But on this card, there are 22 random acts of kindness, something for you to put in your wallet or put in your Bible, or and just a reminder. There are just so many things that we can do to just be nice, like the person with the incredibly worded bumper stickers. I would say that. You're in the drive-thru, and just tell the cashier, give them some extra money and say, hey, just take care of the person behind me. Or when you're going into the grocery store, and I know I've said this a lot, I do this a lot, you see trash on the ground, like pick up the trash and put your cart in the cart corral. That is your act of kindness towards Dion, okay? Pick some fresh flowers and go share them with someone you love. Compliment people who don't often get compliments. There's a wealth of things that we in the body of Christ can do to get be nice trending. And may we love as Christ has loved us, for people will know that we're his disciples by our love. Let's pray. God, thank you for your great kindness and generosity. It stands to reason, since this is a part of who you are, that if you have embodied us with your spirit, that we too would be kind and generous, that we would be nice. Father, bless us to get be nice, or being nice trending, that it might spread all over, particularly in a time and a season where we're being nice. You're often castigated for being nice. It's often reported as a sign of weakness. But God, we know that since it comes from you, it's a showing of power. So God bless us and remind us that being nice is just what we do. God, start a fire in us. Start a fire in us that this trend would overtake our schools and our workplaces, our homes, our communities, God, this nation. We love you for being so kind and generous to us, God. Help us to do likewise, in Jesus' name, amen. The church could pray for you, serve you in any way. As we sing this next song, please come. Let's stand, let's sing.